Good morning. Is that right? I was a good morning to be today in the house of the Lord. Amen. I know it's good to be here for me, not in the hospitals or anything. And we need to keep praying for those that aren't here because they are in the hospital. I know Brother Bob would be here if he could. So please keep lifting him in your prayers. Got a couple exciting things going on this next couple weeks. First of all, let's get to the food portion of our service. I think we all enjoy food. I know you could probably look at me and say, that boy doesn't miss much food. So that's true. But this, I believe it is this Saturday, not next Saturday, I guess maybe the next Saturday. How's that work, Miss Kyla? Saturday, October 19th, we're going to have a good time fellowshipping. So please bring your favorite soup or stew or chili if you don't make a good soup. Just something hot to share, right? And please come. And please let those that might not be here know that it's happening Saturday. Okay? I don't see my mama. She's probably behind me, isn't she? Just wanted to let you know that prayer list on the back is very important. And me and mom had a doctor's appointment. Was it on Monday or Tuesday? With the Tuesday. And did you know what he said? He says, I got some good news. And I said, oh, that's great. Because we haven't gotten a lot of good news. He said, your biopsies, your PET scan, your blood work, there's no cancer. No more. So I thought that was pretty good. And I got to thinking, well, God is good. Amen. So thank you so much for lifting up us in your prayers. Is there anyone that does need to be lifted up this morning in a special way? Yes, ma'am. That was her youngest son, correct? Maybe one of her sons. Sherry Wachick lost one of her sons this last week. There, Mike. Michael, so please, let's lift her up. And Madison, yes. 16-year-old daughter without a father now. So please, let's lift them up in a special way. Miss Linda, while she's not here with us, dealing with the loss of her mother. So please be with her and her family and there in Michigan, right, Rick? Wisconsin. That's another state, I think, all together. But be with her. Anyone else? Thank you, Miss Lisa. Be with Calvary. Dad'll probably speak on it a little bit later on in the service. There's some special stuff going to be going on the 27th. We're going to be joined by Graceway. And then on the 2nd, the 3rd of November, whatever that Sunday in November is, they're going to be here again. So please be in prayer for that. That's very important. Nothing else? And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you today with our hearts full of those that we love here on this earth that we'll miss when they're no longer with us. We think of Miss Linda and Sherry Wachick and her daughter, our granddaughter, and the loss of their son, Miss Linda, the loss of her mother. But dear Lord, we know as Christians that this is not the end. And we just ask that you be with those that are grieving in a special way. Dear Lord, I just want to ask a special blessing on this church as you prepare us for new and mighty things. They say sometimes when God's working, We're just supposed to get out of the way and let him work. Dear God, if this is your will and your blessing, we just ask a special peace and calmness and understanding, but more importantly, a fellowship with brothers and sisters, with like minds and like hearts. That's the true test and the true joy that we can share here on earth when we come together as one to encourage, to uplift, to worship you as one people. One of my favorite verses that you've given to us is when Jesus comes in to Jerusalem, that if the people were not shouting and praising, the very rocks would cry out. Dear God, we are a sinful people that need to be reminded of an awesome God, that we need to praise you, that we need to worship you. You are so good to us in so many ways that we don't deserve. But God, your love overfloweth and it rains down on your people. Dear God, I just ask a special blessing on every person that's here today. They're here for a reason. Open our ears to the music that's going to be led. Maybe it'll speak to someone. Open the word that you've given to Pastor Mike this week. Let it touch the hearts of those that it's supposed to touch today. Dear God, we just ask a special blessing on this service. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You're invited to stand with us.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, the Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! See how great is our God.
Name above all names.
O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all.
Oh, Lord, we pray.
Lord, we do lift up your name this morning, God, among all names. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us together again here this morning that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to lift up to you, Lord, these people that suffered in our great nation, Lord, over these hurricanes. And there's a lot of people suffering this morning. We just pray a blessing upon the workers down there, God, that's helping out, and that these people might rebuild their lives back again, because a lot of people have lost their lives. So we ask you, Lord, to be with them, be with our nation, God, where there's a lot of pressures upon our nation right now, God. So we just pray that whatever you want, that will be done. We ask you to bless the offering this morning, God. Use it for your glory. Remember the preaching of your word, God, and bless it. In Christ's name, amen.
Then sings my soul, my soul.
You're invited to stand with us again.
God, who stretched the spangled heavens infinite in time and place, from the sun's in burning radiance through the silent fields of space, we thy children in thy likeness share infinite powers with thee. Great Creator, still creating, teach us what we yet may be. We have conquered worlds undreamable since the childhood of our race, known the ecstasy of winging through the chartered realms of space.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. Pastor always gives me the evil eye. Either up or down, be quiet. I'm always on the wrong verse. How does that happen? That's probably it. More than one verse, that's the problem. Well, if you have your Bible, I'm going to read a verse in just a little bit. But first, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. And we thank you for our great blessings that we have here at Calvary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Lord, we think of those folks that are suffering in the South in these hurricane-ravaged places. And Lord, it's not just simply the wind and the rain, but the water coming down off the mountainsides have just literally ripped chunks out of the hills, houses and buildings just gone, people missing. So we pray, Father, you would be with those that are helping in those situations. Keep them safe as well, because we know that, Lord, some of these things are dangerous, just moving around. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who live there. Give them encouragement. Help them, Father, to believe in each other, believe in you, trust in you. And we pray, Father God, that you would be with our leaders in our nation as they seek to lend a hand, reach out, help. So we pray, Father, for all the agencies, and we think of our Southern Baptist Disaster Preparedness Team. It's already there and working. But, Lord, there's so many others. We ask you to keep them safe and help them to do all they need to do. Now we ask you to be with us as we gather at this particular time to worship you in the spirit and the truth. We come to your word, and we ask a blessing from it this morning. So hide us in your heart this morning. Speak to us as only you can. Bless those that are here, and pray, Father, that if there's needs here that nobody knows anything about except you and that individual, that you'll meet those needs. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean when the scripture says Jesus is a prophet, a priest, and a king? Isn't it interesting that the greatest man in all of history had no servants, yet they called him master? He had no formal schooling. He didn't have any PhDs from Harvard or Yale or any other kind of places. Yet they called him teacher, and we're still learning of him even today. He had no medical training, yet they also recognized that one touch from him, one word from him could heal. And so they brought the sick, the lame, the halt to come before him. He had no armies, yet kings with powerful armies still fear him today. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the whole world. He committed no crimes, yet he was crucified as a criminal. They buried him, but death could not hold him. And he arose a victor over death, hell, and the grave. These are three main offices that the scripture describes for us. He is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. A prophet was commissioned to speak to the people the precious word of God. Second, the office of priest, they served as mediators between God and man. It was the first duty of a priest to offer sacrifices, blood sacrifices for the sins of the people. Because we don't like that. I've heard some people say that we need to take all that stuff out of the Bible. Well, then they wouldn't have anything to stand on, because this is in the scripture. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." First, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls. You know, science has taught us or brought to us the idea that the life of the body is in the blood. I think to myself, blood is essential. It's essential in life, but it's also essential in evolution, as the evolutionists teach it. It's all the creatures, everything living, there's relationship there. The Bible says that the life of the body of any living creature, man, animal, the life is in the blood. Now, that was only 3,000 years before William Harvey made that discovery as a evolutionist. I don't know, maybe stumbled around, read the Bible or something. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm just being facetious. The Old Testament priests served as mediators between sinful man and God. Over in 1 Timothy, Timothy says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Hebrews chapters 4 through 10, you're going to be disappointed. I'm not going to read all those chapters. I'm just going to put those down and you can go back and read them later. Details how Jesus is great in all that he's first the priest, which is far superior than the Old Testament Levitical priesthood. And of course, the Old Testament Levitical priesthood was set up by God. Yet Jesus is from another order of priests, and that is even greater than the priesthood of Levitical priests. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." Jesus, his priesthood is different, though. He wasn't Aramaic. He was not from the house of Aaron. His order of priesthood is Melchizedek. You say, you know, that's a very strange name. I've heard that name before. He's a very strange guy because he just pops up on the scene. Bingo. We have a few verses about him. He was called the King of Salem. And Abraham comes and recognizes his superiority over him and asks his blessing. And this Melchizedek blesses Abraham. Jesus then is not only king, but he's priest after the order of Melchizedek. Matthew opens his gospel with this saying. He says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Messiah," that's what Christ means, "the son of David, the son of Abraham." David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13, Acts 13. That's what the scripture tells us. That's an interesting thing. Was David a man like we are? Yeah. Did David have some very glaring faults? Yes. I'm not wishing this a bad thing about David, but I'm so glad he was. Because I'm kind of like that. I'm more like him than anything else. Dr. Luke in his gospel says, "And the angel then came unto Mary, and Mary," he said to Mary, "For Mary, thou hast found favor with God." You know what that basically saying? Is that God picked Mary. Mary didn't have a little piece of paper she wrote and put in the offering every week. The Lord picked me, picked me, picked me. No. I suspect it was as startling to her as anything else. That's the reason why the angel had to come and tell her, "Mary, for thou hast favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Then verse 32 says, "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That's superior to David's kingdom. Now listen, normally there are basically three offices in the Old Testament. There's the prophet, there's the priest, and there's the king. And these are distinct from each other, and there's no overlap normally. But Jesus comes, and he is prophet, priest, and king. So they all come together in Christ. The scripture foretelling this is over there in Deuteronomy 18. It says the Messiah would be a prophet like Moses. According to the Bible, he would be a priest, a prophet, and a king. Bits and pieces, but Jesus brings all these figures, these types, into a sharp focus. Moses, the author of the first five books of the Old Testament, which are called the Pentateuch. After him, there was an ascension of godly men called prophets. So we have the first five books of Moses. Then we have the prophets. And then we have the writings. So we have the prophets, the Nabi, the writings, the Kata'im, and the prophets and the writings. Matthew 16 says, when Jesus came under the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, Jesus has been walking and talking and teaching and preaching. The disciples have had the opportunity to see who he was and what he was saying, just as the other people around were seeing and experiencing Jesus. And so Peter, of course, says, some say that thou art John the Baptist. That's what people are saying. Some say you're Elijah. That's not bad. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So all those things are complimentary. But then Jesus said to them, but whom do you say that I am? And of course, Simon Peter, being Simon Peter, says, Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think that's probably the only thing Peter ever got right in his whole life. He's a good man. He was the Christ. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. My wife made me do this. He said, what did she make you do? I've got these new teeth, you know. Aren't these nice? Don't grin, Taylor. It could happen to you, brother. And I don't know. I just kind of put them in and pull them out. Pull them in, pull them out, pull them in, pull them out. And she keeps saying, you got to put them in, leave them in, or you'll never get used to them. So she bought some glue. It's a little red tube. And are you putting that stuff on your teeth? Well, I came over here this morning, 7:30. I was here, made coffee and things like that. Bob's not here. Bob's in the hospital, but he's doing good. And got some donuts and all that kind of junk. It's my regular routine. I went home, and she said, did you get your stuff on your teeth? So I went over there and I'm not ever going to get these things out of my mouth, Walter. They're there forever. But listen, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for God said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, the Lord Jesus said. So when you become a Christian, it's kind of like the same supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that was working in Peter's life. Look, people in Jesus' day were not totally blind to Jesus' mighty works. Matter of fact, they recognized them. They just didn't know what to do with them. Just as in our day, there are people who want something. They want salvation to be real, but they're frightened about it. Boy, I don't know. You know, let's check out this group over here. Are they very quiet? Don't say anything. Do they send homework home? What do they do? You know, all those kind of things. They go by the sign out there and go, oh, my gosh, those people are Baptists. Oh, my, I've heard terrible things about them. You know, they're worse than Pentecostals. Now, how can Baptists be worse than Pentecostals, huh? Whoops, am I saying Pentecostals are worse than us? No, not me. No. Listen, it doesn't make any difference. What matters is we come together in the name of the Lord. We worship him in spirit and in truth. We read his word. We try to intake it into our spirit that it becomes part of who we are so that when we move and we breathe it out and we breathe it in. And we become really a signpost for the Lord Jesus in our age and time because he is living in us and his word is coming out of us. And hopefully most of the time it is. Look, people in Jesus' day were not totally blind that Jesus could do great things. People want salvation. I really think we can say that. But they're frightened of it. Because something is going to happen to you. They know something's going to happen to you. I don't know why I'm looking over here at you, Taylor, because there's nobody in front down there. Jim's not there today. But I remember years and years ago, I heard a little story about a lady who was visiting a church for the very first time. And she was sitting up front on the right side of the church, I guess, in the pew by herself, basically. And the preacher was preaching and something like that, and he would come to a point and she'd go, "Amen!" And da 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 da, "Amen! Let it be so, Lord!" Just like that. Well, we have some deacons, you know, Rich back there, he would never do this, but anyway, one of our deacons went up to her and patted her on the shoulder and said, man, you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet. She says, "I got the Spirit." He said, "Well, you didn't get him here. I hope you get him here." Isn't that why we're here? To let the Spirit of God work in our hearts. We have the Word of God, and if the Holy Spirit energizes that Word of God, then everything that we're doing today and in the amount of worship, whichever, positive, negative, whatever, it's all good for us because we're breathing it in, Jesus, and we're exhaling Jesus, and that's what the world needs to see. They don't need to see my hairs. He's a mess. His teeth won't even come out half the time. He's a mess. Listen, we don't need to worry about what our friends will say. We need to worry only about, Lord, was this pleasing unto you today? Did we truly come in the spirit of worship and praise? Did we sing as best we possibly could sing? Are we reading the scripture? Looking for, seeking those spiritual insights that will help us grow in His grace. But we want a manageable religion. We kind of don't want all that spirit-filledness. We just kind of want, do you have a little piece of paper you could pass that out to me that if I happen to die today and stand before the Lord Jesus, I could say, I went to church the other day and here's the guys that showed me right here. We want that kind of thing. It's like an insurance policy. There's no such thing there. It's a life policy. It's a life dedicated to Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming in your life and filling your life. And it happens in different places at different times. Some people get saved in church, actually. That's amazing, isn't it? Then some people get saved in their car to listen to the radio. Taylor, did you ask me if I like J. Vernon McGee? Yeah, I thought so. First time I ever heard J. Vernon McGee, J. Vernon McGee was a pastor out in California. He always had a saying that I thought was very interesting because now he pastored out in California, Pasadena, I think. Where was he from? Does anybody know where J. Vernon McGee was from? Texas. He always said, don't ask the guy if he's from Texas because if he is, he'll soon tell you. Well, he would say it all the time on his messages, wouldn't he? Well, listen, I started listening to J. Vernon McGee, and I thought to myself, man, this guy is so hokey, it's unbelievable. Same old thing. I'm J. Vernon McGee, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, after a while, I started taking my radio and finding J. Vernon McGee because I wanted to hear what he had to say. Because what he had to say didn't have human foundation, but had a spiritual foundation built on the Word of God. And I was hungry for it. I wanted to see some more, hear some more. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. We should never be satisfied. If we're satisfied, we ought to be in the grave someplace, waiting on that great, mighty day. But we all should be wanting more and more of Jesus. Well, here's the truth. God loves you, and that's why Jesus came. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Well, we have a problem. Sin separates us from God. Religion, human goodness, morality, all those kind of things we're taught most of the time are all good for us, and sometimes they're not bad. But when they come in between coming to a right relationship with Jesus, then it's bad. We have a whole lot of religious folks over in a little country called Israel. Some of them are Jews and some of them are Arabs. They hate each other, killing each other all the time. You know what needs to happen to some of those guys? The guy that some call a prophet and some of the others mock needs to come in their hearts. That would change their attitudes towards each other and towards their fellow man. Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All? All. Romans 6 says, "For the wages of sin," you keep working the old sin road, you're going to get paid. "But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." You want wages? You're going to get death. But if you take the gift of God, you get eternal life. You see, people the world over are in the same predicament. They just don't know it. They try to bridge the gap with all kinds of things. Proverbs 14:12 says, do we have that one up there? "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death." There's a way that seems right to man. But the end result is death, separation, eternal separation from God. What then does God want? Quite easy. "For if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt what? Be saved." This is all God's action. And his everything he did for you. And he has a gift for you. And he's standing there saying, here. And we say, no, I can do this. I can do it myself. And we miss it. Don't miss this, Jesus. Don't miss it. Life will be so radically different. I can't tell you how radically different it will be. You'll see things differently. You'll catch yourself in saying and motions and actions that you'll say, shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have done that. That's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that, correcting you. Then what does God want? He says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead," there's the key, "thou shalt be saved." Placing our faith and trust in Jesus. That's the way. Only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. Paul said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we maybe will be saved. Mm-mm. We shall be saved. Romans 10 and 9. Let me ask you this. You say, I didn't come for that this morning. I wanted to hear about the flood. I wanted to hear I want to give you the good news. Listen, if you're here today without Jesus, all you have to do is say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come in my life and save me." And he will. Just like that. You can be sitting in the parking lot. Same thing could happen. You could be at the football game. You could be out here walking down the sidewalk. I'm always amazed at these folks who are jogging around. It's you know, half the time when I come over this way, down that path, there are people jogging. Some of the women are, I think they get in their jogging clothes and they take half of it off so that their jogging can become more interesting to the people passing by. But now it's getting a little bit cold. Have you noticed that this morning? Change the weather a little bit. I noticed my one lady jogger, I don't know who she is, she usually drives down through there, but this morning she had sweatpants on and a sweatshirt. Yeah. So something overcame the other basic instinct and said, honey, you better get warm a little bit before you leave today and stay warm while you're jogging. It's a good thing to get your physical body in shape. I'm not trying to be mocking on that. It's a good thing. But listen, we're more than just physical. We are spiritual beings. And we crave a spiritual relationship with God Almighty. Whether we recognize it or not, that's what we crave. Have you done that today? Have you asked Christ to come into your life today? That's key. That's the foundation. That's the question of time and eternity. What have you done with Jesus? John 11, 25 through 26. We got that one? Thank you. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Isn't that amazing? Jesus is a prophet. He speaks the word of God. He's a priest. He ministers the word of God. He is king of all creation. Prophet, priest, and king. And he could be your Savior and your Lord. It's up to you. God will respect your decision. If you say no, then there's a reward waiting for you. You won't like it, but there is a reward. But if you say yes, there's a reward waiting for you too. And I don't think we can really express all that there is that God has for us. It's going to be so wonderful, so great. I don't know how that process is going to work. First one we see is Jesus, I'm sure, pretty sure of that. But after that, who are we going to see? I don't know. Maybe we'll see mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, Sunday school teacher, a George Abernathy. Who are we going to see? But no matter what it is, it's going to be glorious. All the doubts, all the problems, all the struggles, all the strains, gone. Just like that. You know, I don't know. I'm not very gifted in anything really, but I'm certainly not gifted in woodworking. I actually took a class in high school, and it was shop class, and we learned how to do some things with some hand tools. You know, a saw. That's the thing I need. Just a hand tool, a hammer. Or saw. Don't turn something on. You know? And one of our guys in our class was pretty good at all that kind of stuff. But one day he was pushing something through the saw, and this little bit of his finger got on that side of the saw, and this little bit of his finger was on this side of the saw. You know what happens when you do that? Blood everywhere. I guess it was so fast, so clean, he didn't even realize it. There's just blood. What's happening? I remember Bob Claypool told me the same thing. I saw Bob one day. He was a woodworker. He did all this kind of stuff, and he had a big old bandage on his hand. You know, it was just huge, gross-looking thing. I said, what happened, Bob? He said, well, you wouldn't believe it. Oh, okay. What happened, Bob? He said, I was planing. I guess you have, I don't know anything about these things. I guess you have a little thing, and you push stuff through the planer. And he said it was getting stuck. And so he said, I just took my hand and took the board both sides so it wouldn't get stuck. Cut his thumb off. Zip. And, you know, I guess the saw is so cool, you don't even notice for a while. Just, blood everywhere. You know, you're thinking, where's the blood coming from? Unbelievable. And I thought to myself, okie doke, I'm going to stay away from that kind of stuff. Because if Bob can cut his finger off, I'd cut my hand off. Yeah. Have you ever hit your hand, your hand with your hammer? Who hasn't done that? You're lying. Really? You never, you know what a hammer is? okay, and you never hit your hand. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. It's possible then. It's something possible. Have somebody else hold the nail. Okay, that's a good one. All right. Oh. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. All these kind of weird things come in your life. But they're all life experiences that can be good for you and teach you something. They really can. I was in the garage. And I was doing something. And so I took my razor knife. I put a nice new blade in it because I was getting tired of that diddle, diddly, diddly, diddly. And so I put that razor knife in there. And I went like that. And it cut right through. Beautiful, beautiful. But then I noticed there's blood all over the place. I just about cut that finger off with a razor knife. The doctor down at the ReadyMed said, how did you do that? You know, so I guess it must have been a great thing. You must not be able to cut your finger off very easy with a razor knife. I almost did it. Just a little skin there. Isn't it amazing what our lives consist of? All kinds of experiences like that. But they also consist of wonderful things, blessed things, beautiful things, birth of babies. There's my baby right there. Grew up to be such an ugly thug. But he was a he was a beautiful child. Beautiful. He was skinny, though. What did he weigh? 5'14". 5 pounds, 14 ounces, right? I've got bigger fish than that. He was a skinny little fellow, but he had good lungs. Ah! He was a screaming, that's for sure. Yeah. Now, Matthew came along. I don't know where Matthew's hiding somewhere. Oh, he's back there. Matthew came along. Yeah, he was born in Niceville, or excuse me, in Fort Walton, at the civilian hospital. Taught at the military hospital. That was really, at Eglin, beautiful, big. It was the wonderful thing about it was I couldn't even come in and see her. Can't come in. Was there 2 or 3 days and I didn't get to see you. Finally, I get to see this. Oh, my gosh, he looked horrible. He looked like some kind of little refugee child. You know, let's feed this baby, you know, poor little thing. So skinny. Yeah, he'd been eating ever since. But the Lord is good to us. He gives us good things where we maybe don't understand it, can't see it right off the bat. But I think with all my heart, he never gives you something that you'll say later on, boy, that was a cruel and an unusual punishment. You'll say it was a blessing. Sometimes it takes us to learn to see that blessing, but it is a blessing. And the greatest blessing we have is coming to know Christ. The second greatest blessing we have is this Bible, his word, that speaks to our hearts. The Holy Spirit uses it, energizes, speaks to us. The third greatest blessing we have is to worship together in spirit and truth as believers, priests unto God. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We know we live in a world that's untoward and it's filled with hazards. And Lord, there are many today that are without home. They have no property. Their house is gone. But Lord, if you save their life, help them to recognize and realize what a blessing that is. Turn them around and use them for you. Father, we thank you for your watch care over us in all things. We thank you that even when we don't know it, you're ahead of us preparing the way. Father, if there's somebody here this morning that came seeking your face, Lord, don't let them leave this place this morning without saying yes to you. Saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins, which are many. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. And I'll serve you. And I'll praise you. And the gifts and the talents I have, I give back to you. Use me and your service. Lord, we thank you. We pray that you'll bless each and every one here today. And those we contact and we meet, interact with, might see Jesus in us. For these things we ask in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I think we have a song of invitation this morning. Let's stand and sing. If you have something to make public, make it. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Come on down.
The cross upon which Jesus died is the shelter in which we can hide. And His grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
For your kind attention today, I do ask, Father, as we're here, we're going to close now, but we ask that you go with us. And where we go, help us to lift up Jesus. Whether it's our lunch today, whatever it might be, use us. So we can say, Lord, thank you. You made yourself real to me today, and we just love you so much. For these things we ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.